It's a Friday mailbag podcast. We're talking Drew Holiday trade, someone calls me out, and then people get personal. Let's do it right now. Millies, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hi there, John Corrales here from MassLive.com. Welcome back to the Lockdown Celtics podcast. Whatever you're doing, wherever you're going, I appreciate you making this show part of your daily routine. That's right, Monday through Friday, this podcast is here for you. So if you're new, welcome aboard. Hope you enjoy the show. If you went to MassLive.com looking for an answer and then didn't see it and you say, hey, let me listen to this podcast, well, welcome aboard, and I hope that you enjoyed it enough to subscribe, and please make this show part of your daily routine. I know some of you have, and I really appreciate that. It means a lot to me that you're a regular listener. Every Friday, I ask for mailbag questions. Email me, jcorrales@masslive.com. That's J-K-A-R-A-L-I-S, jcorrales@masslive.com. Email me throughout the course of the week, and as you'll see between here and the MassLive.com piece that I do, questions can range from anything. Celtics, NBA, beyond that, whatever, it's fine. And usually what happens, I get so many questions that I can't put them all on MassLive, so I split it up. I do somewhere around 8 to 10 questions on MassLive, and then the rest will be on the podcast. That's the breakdown. So let's just jump into it. Dave B. from Winchester kicks us off with the rumor here that's hot today, Drew Holiday, and the Celtics being a... I mentioned it yesterday because I came up with this fantasy trade, a three-team trade. Today, Kevin O'Connor threw it together in his mock draft. He threw a little nugget in there that the Celtics are among the teams or a possible destination. So he asks, is one of the main reasons for a potential Kemba or Hayward Holiday trade financial? The C's could save something like $8 million plus the rookie scale numbers for the picks. That would put them a move or two away from the full mid-level exception. You can think of it as Holiday plus the MLE for whoever goes. Who would they target with the full MLE? Okay. So let me just use this as a way to address that rumor as a whole. I love KOC. He's great. He is plugged in. He does a great job with his draft. He's one of the foremost, I think, draft evaluators and experts, and I think he does a great job. This rumor was born from that, but I certainly don't doubt that he heard what he heard, but I also am of the opinion, being in this business, that if you hear something like that and you say, hey, the Celtics are really moving in on Drew Holiday, that's a story. That's a story that you write. That's a story that gets written somewhere, somehow, and it's not just a nugget on the sidebar of a mock draft. And again, I don't think that he didn't hear this. Sure, the Celtics are looking at trading for Drew Holiday. They're looking at trading for half the league, probably. And so this is a rumor, but I think in full context, I don't know how strong a rumor this is. And I think what's the potential for that, I think part of it, if it's a Hayward thing, is they're looking for destinations for Gordon Hayward. If they have gotten indication from Gordon Hayward that he's opting in and he's going to take his money, as much money as he can. And then after that, he's going to become an unrestricted free agent and he's probably gone. If he's given them that indication, then the Celtics are looking around the league to say, hey, Gordon Hayward, what do you think? Drew Holiday's available. What do you think about Gordon Hayward? That I totally believe. I think that's part of Boston's just due diligence. If they have a player of Gordon Hayward's caliber, now you might be listening to this and you'd be like, what do you mean Gordon Hayward's caliber? I value him very highly still. And I think the league will to some degree. If you have Hayward and you know that he's probably or highly possibly gone, like the odds of him leaving are 50-50. You don't want to take the chance of losing him for nothing. Then you shop. You say, what will you give me for Hayward? Is that not enough? What about a third team? And that's why I came up with that three-team mess of a deal yesterday, because the rumor yesterday was from Mark Stein of the New York Times, Holiday, the Hawks, the sixth pick somewhere in there, and a third team. So there's no doubt that New Orleans is doing what they're supposed to do. Holiday is available if a team gives him the right price. Hayward is available because of circumstances. I don't know that Kemba is the real target, although I think from a Boston perspective, it might make more sense to swap Kemba and Drew Holiday. But I wrote this on the Mass Live mailbag, but I think Kemba and Drew are fairly equal players. Holiday, obviously a better defensive player. Kemba, obviously a better offensive player. They do some things equally. Kemba does some things better. Holiday does some things better. The numbers don't work out financially, so there has to be an expansion of the deal. But I'll just throw this out there with Kemba. Trading away Kemba 1 year into a four-year max contract that he came over essentially as a free agent. I know it was a sign-and-trade, but if a player comes over and makes this four-year commitment and then 1 year later you turn around and trade him, that doesn't look good. I think that looks worse than what they did with Isaiah Thomas, because Kemba just committed here for 4 years. You know, Isaiah was their own guy. They had him that he was becoming a free agent, and then they traded him. Now, you can say, well, that doesn't look good either, and okay, fine, but trading Kemba away like this, if that's the case, I find that to be worse. Because this dude just committed to you. He left Charlotte. He said, I'm going to commit to you. I'm sure he had other options. He said, I want to come to Boston. I want to win. Then to turn around and be like, I don't know. Don't think so. Sorry, bye. Ugh, I don't like that idea. Second part of the question here with Dave: who would they target with the full mid-level? I mean, that could be someone dropped the name Christian Wood. That would be an interesting name. I'm not sure who else they could throw together a $9 million offer for. I'm sure there are some names out there that I think, honestly, if I'm the Celtics, I don't know if I throw the full $9 million. At a guy, I might split that and take that $5.7 million and make it essentially $4.7 million and, you know, a little bit less. I mean, unless they want to, like, I don't know what some of these guys are going to get as far as offers. What's Harry Giles going to get? I can't read that market at all. What's Paul Millsap going to get? Can you get him for $9 million or less? And there are a few interesting names out there. But it might be in Boston's best interests to split that. Take that $9 million, turn it into two players. That might be, to me, that might be more likely. Okay. Bob K calls me out. Speaking of trades, he says, I don't think the Nance trade is realistic as proposed as you modified in the other direction. I brought up this idea from the Chad Ford Big Board podcast where they said Larry Nance for the 14th pick. And he says, Bob says, in the short term, if Nance were a free agent and you didn't have to give up any assets, would you pay him $12 million this year in a multi-year contract? I don't think so, i.e. the value is not there. If you compare him to possible 14 picks or moving up to get you someone you really like, is he better? And goes on and on. But, and then he says, I rely on age to make these sorts of decisions, but I think it would be a big overpay just on the salary to trade for Nance. Also, if you discount the 26 and 30 picks because it is not a good draft, but in fact picks 15 to 40 are hard to determine who will be best in that range, and it is a deep draft for that tier of players. So basically, he suggests 26 and 30 have a better chance of becoming good players than in other years. That's true. Bob is correct in that. One reason you do Nance for 14 in this draft, where you might not in other drafts, is because of that. Because the everything is even. As Tom Westerholm described it on his podcast, Geno Time, most drafts are like an ocean where it's very deep at one end and then it gets shallower and shallower as you get closer to the shore. This draft is like a pool where it's basically the same depth for a long time. And it's a great way to put it. But that depth isn't as deep as the deepest part of the ocean. And at 14, you can certainly get a decent, potentially decent player, but these are unknown entities. And Larry Nance, or whomever else you trade for in that spot, is a known entity. You know what he gets. So for the Boston Celtics, in a lot of these decisions this year for the Celtics that I would make are decisions that in other years I wouldn't make. And it's tailored to this season, this offseason, and what the Celtics are trying to do. And the construct of their team is they are in a win now mode. They have established players who need some help now. And okay, if Sadiq Bey is available at 14, sure, that sounds great. And maybe Sadiq Bey is going to be a good player. I mean, most people think he's going to be a good player. Okay, fine. There are a lot of players that came into drafts and people were sure they were going to be good players and they were not. So I think Boston is a good place for a rookie to go because they're not going to be asked to do too much. They can focus on doing a specific task rather than playing 38 minutes and doing everything, whatever. So that's why I think a Nance for the 14th pick is doable for me. And it's not, I'm sure if I had Danny Ainge on the podcast, he'd probably laugh at me. I don't know, maybe. But look, there are people, this was John Hollinger's suggestion. Hollinger's not a dummy. So there, I think there's value to considering stuff like this and why some of these picks you say, all right, yeah, 26 and 30. Okay. It's not a good draft. It's not a good draft, but it's a deep draft at okay talent. But the Celtics don't need two players of okay talent. The Celtics need of those three picks, they need to get two players of good talent that can help now because they're not in development mode. And that's why I suggest they trade those picks for known entities. And that's why I suggested the other day, if those three picks net you Luke Kennard and Larry Nance, that might not be the worst thing in the world because they're NBA players who know the league, know what to expect, and can slide in and play specific roles at a high level right away. And I'm willing to at least consider that. Up next, a little bit of Delonte West talk. Shout out to Delonte. I'll do that when I come back. Shout out to Built Bar for making the best protein bar ever. And if you haven't gotten their new formula, they turned what I loved before into an even better protein bar. They've got 18 flavors, some with nuts, some without nuts. So if you've got an allergy, totally cool, no problem. They're covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft. They're easy to chew. Seriously delicious. They taste like a candy bar, but they are healthy. If you are health conscious, whether you're looking to lose or maintain weight, you can still indulge because they are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. You on a keto diet? No problem. I get the peanut butter ones. Those are my favorite. Peanut butter, anything is basically my favorite. And I get 19 grams of protein at just 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 net carbs. It's great for right after my workout because low calorie doesn't blow my workout to bits, and the protein helps me build muscle. So go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. Try it out yourself. You'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. Rolling on with a Friday mailbag day, and Reed M. would like to talk about Delonte West. He says he saw the latest video of him shooting baskets in an open gym. Obviously, a heavy stretch to say that he's training to get back to the NBA, but do you think there's a potential future for him in basketball in some capacity? This would definitely be a ways down the road, but it is awesome to see him take these steps of late. I love that Delonte West is getting help, that he has accepted that help, and that he appears to be taking steps towards a recovery. I think he has a home in the NBA. Continuing in this kind of path of participating in maybe the mental health initiative and being a speaker, someone who helps other people in his type of situation. Delonte West had really, I mean, he had it all. He was a successful NBA player. He was a good NBA player. I liked Delonte West. I thought he was, you know, I just liked him. But mental health, and regular listeners know, and anybody who follows me on Twitter knows, mental health is a major thing for me, a cause that I believe in. It's touched me personally, not only myself, but, you know, people close to me. I think Delonte West can be an amazing spokesperson eventually. Right now, I want him to focus so much on his recovery and continue to get that help and walk down that path and really work his way back into just being happy. That's all I want. And I do think that being happy includes basketball because a lot of basketball players are basketball players forever. And being around the game would be amazing. So I'm all for, 100% all for Delonte West coming back into the league. Peter F. says, the closer we get to the draft and free agency, the more it sounds like Gordon Hayward wants to be back home in Indiana. Is there a team like the New York Knicks or Detroit that could be included in a 3-team trade with Indiana that helps us send Gordon to Indy and helps us move up in the draft? Also, if we move up, who do you like? I mean, I did do that podcast with Tony East a couple weeks ago at this point, I think it was, where we kind of broke down the potential trades for Gordon Hayward. I think certainly the Celtics are going to need a third team. And that third team is going to have to, I think, contribute players. I don't know, unless Victor Oladipo is going to one of these teams like Detroit or New York, which, I mean, he could. But I don't know what the Pacers are really going to try to do in this type of deal. If the Celtics trade Gordon Hayward, and I said this earlier, I've been saying it all along. If the Celtics trade Gordon Hayward and find a way to get themselves two good guys off of the bench, two like these, I'm not talking about six man of the year candidates. I'm just saying that just two guys that you can look at and say, those guys are going to be contributors off the bench. So if Boston sends out Gordon Hayward and they get back Luke Kennard from Detroit, who I've mentioned before, and they get back Doug McDermott from Indy, and Oladipo goes to Detroit. Now, if Detroit sends out, we're just trying to hash this out in my brain here, because I didn't put this together beforehand. If Detroit sends out Kennard and the sixth pick, I don't know that there's a way the Celtics can get that sixth pick, because Indy is over the cap. The Pistons don't have to match salary. They can absorb, so they can send out whomever they want. And this is part of what makes this deal work. It might have to be with the Pistons because, well, the Knicks are all over the place. I'm looking at their cap sheet. No, forget it. It would be the Pistons. If the Pistons value Oladipo, or maybe it's Miles Turner, they can absorb a player into cap space. They don't have to match salaries. The Celtics send out Hayward. They have to find a way to match salaries. I don't know if they can do it with a trade exception, but if they can get back Kennard, and who makes $5 million, and McDermott, who makes $7.3 million, now we're talking about 12, almost 13. I don't know if that can open up a trade exception. This is where it gets complicated. This is where three team deals kind of fall apart. But I think the Celtics can work out a three team deal. I don't know if there's a way that they can trade up to six now or seven. If I did go up to seven or eight, like I did in the Locked On mock draft, I would take, like I did in the Locked On mock draft, Tyrese Haliburton if he was available. Killian Hayes, I think, might be gone by seven or eight. Onyeka Okongwu might be gone by seven or eight. But just to plug the Locked On mock draft, we did that. I told you guys that I traded up. Ultimately, I traded up into eighth. I traded with the Knicks. At that point, Haliburton was still available, so I took him. I thought Haliburton at eight, if the Celtics are able to trade up to eight and get a player, a useful player in Haliburton, then Halliburton's a guy who can make, I think, an immediate impact and be okay and not without too much pressure to do too much. I think he could do very well because he's a good playmaker. He can shoot from just about anywhere. I think he's a good all-around player, and whatever deficiencies he might have on defense, the Celtics can work on that and fix that. So I think a three-team deal with Detroit is possible. I don't think it's possible to get players and that pick. If the Celtics can work that out, where they get two useful players and that pick, then Danny Ainge should get Executive of the Year. I don't think it's possible. I don't know enough. I can't wrap my head around making that three-team deal work. When I return, some personal questions, including why the Celtics and what's my favorite tea stop in Boston? Sure, why not? That's next here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. Navid H, I'm hope I'm pronouncing that name right, says, John, in honor of Tommy Heinsohn, can we have a sincere discussion of Tony Brothers? His games are well outside the statistical range of Celtics win-loss average. Playoff percentages are even worse. I'm not trying to get you in trouble here, but we have to call out bias where it exists. You know what, Navid? You're right. You're right. We have to call out bias where it exists. And you know what? Maybe I will get into trouble. But I'm going to tell you exactly what I think of Tony Brothers based on the things that I have seen firsthand. So it starts here. And I've just never seen anything like that before. So, oh man, it was good to get that out there. Thanks, Navid. Okay, moving on. Matt from the UK said, and who's been listening since back in the Rain and Jays days. Appreciate that. As an international fan of the Celtics from the UK, I always enjoy my visits over to the great city of Boston. Out of interest, which tea station would you choose as your favorite on the network? I always consider riding the network as a real treat when over in Massachusetts. Plenty of character, even though its age probably means it isn't the most reliable for commuters every day. I can't keep a straight face with that. No, it is not reliable at all. Which tea station would be my favorite? Now, I will admit, I haven't taken the tea as much recently because since moving back to Boston from New York, I've been driving, and because I now cover the games professionally, I can park and drive in, and the games often take me past the time the tee shuts down, so I have to drive anyway, and so there may be some upgrades to certain stations. So I can't speak 100% out of vast knowledge, I'll say. But my favorite tea stop, I think Park Street was always a favorite just because I loved the fact that there were so many trains going in and out, and there's a curve there, and you have to get the E train, you have to go to a different spot, and it was so ridiculously complicated that when we saw people kind of like walking down there and looking around and like trying to figure it out, it was always kind of funny just to see the lost looks on people's faces and say, I wanted to get to the red line. Do you know where the red line is? Yeah, go down that way. That way. The red line's down there. So Park Street was always fun because of its confusing nature for tourists. And it's right smack in the middle of kind of everything. There's the Common is right there. You're on the corner of Tremont Streets and what's that street there? By the State House. You got the burial grounds up the street there. It's a place where a lot of tourists frequent. It's the tea stop closest to the State House. So people, if you're coming in from Cambridge, if you're staying in Cambridge and you want to come into the city and kind of see the city, you're probably getting off at Park Street anyway. And just the general confused looks on people's faces was always fun. I will give a shout out to Harvard though, the Harvard Square stop, only because I like the weirdness of Harvard Square, and that's not even close. One of my favorite things to do when I was in New York was go to the East Village. I just like that weird vibe. So I will give a shout out there as well. Finally, Alex. Alex has a few questions here. One, why the Celtics? Two, have you ever played any fantasy basketball or any other fantasy sports? And three, if basketball wasn't a thing, what would your life be like? And he says, thanks, some random person in Boston. Alex, you're not random. I appreciate you following and listening. Let me start with, have I ever played any fantasy basketball? I used to like playing fantasy basketball, but it takes up a bunch of time. And because of my job, you'd think my job allows me to play fantasy basketball. I think it doesn't, because I'm constantly writing and focused on the writing. And by the time I get to a fantasy basketball lineup, I've forgotten that, oh shit, it's 7:30. Or, you know, I'm at the arena at 4:30, 5 o'clock for a 7:30 game. I'm walking around. I've been busy, do pregame notes, stuff like that. So by the time you get there and you have a moment to set lineups and see who's playing and all that stuff, I can't. So I used to, I don't anymore. I don't play any fantasy sports anymore. I'd be a doormat, and I hate to lose, so I'm not going to play these games that I'm going to lose. Why the Celtics? Well, I'm from Pawtucket, Rhode Island. I grew up in New England. My basketball journey, I've said this on the podcast, I think, before. I've said it a few different times. My basketball journey is different than everybody else's. I don't have the story of my dad putting on a game and watching with him and like, oh, who's that? Oh, yeah, that's Red Auerbach. Oh, let me tell you about Red Auerbach. Or that guy talking right now is Tommy Heinsohn. My dad didn't know a damn thing. He came over from Greece. He's an immigrant from Greece. My parents, both immigrants from Greece. So, and actually, they both kind of took to hockey early on. So there were more Bruins games on my TV when I was younger, but I didn't discover basketball, like professional basketball, until the early 80s. And that was my kind of indoctrination. What better time to say, oh, what's this sport? Oh, let me see what these guys are. Oh, that's Larry Bird. That's Dennis Johnson. Oh, that's Robert Parrish. You know, here's Danny Ainge. Oh, okay. I get it. Like, I'm 9 years old watching these guys play. And like, oh, all right. I think I'm following it. And so I was baptized in the glory days of the NBA. So when I say I have an affinity for the 1980s, that's partly why, because that's how I remember watching that game in a big wooden box Zenith. All you old folks know what I'm talking about. Anybody who's under 40 doesn't have a damn thing. Just Google wooden box Zenith and you'll know what the hell I'm talking about. It was a big, gross monstrosity, but I managed to watch basketball on it, which was cool. And eventually I figured things out. The Celtics were my option. And I grew up in Rhode Island. I went to college in Boston. I'm a New Englander. And so, yeah, I will always have a connection to the Boston Celtics. It's just been part of me. I'm a Red Sox fan. I'm a Bruins fan. I'm a Patriots fan. You know, and I go back to, I've watched games in the old garden. I've been to Fenway before they had the monster seats. I was at Foxborough Stadium before it got torn down for Gillette Stadium. And I sat in those big, long metal benches and watched Steve Grogan. Like, I'm an old. You guys are young. I'm an old. So, but that's why the Celtics. Because, yeah. And finally, if basketball wasn't a thing, what would your life be like? Alex, I don't even want to think about it. I don't even want to give that a thought because it sounds pretty damn boring. In actuality, I mean, I'd probably be just a baseball guy Baseball was my first love. I started in sports because my mom took me to a little league practice or minor, whatever those little T-ball things were. And that's how I started in sports. I was happy to sit at home and read books and be a little nerd. And, you know, I was fine with that. I never wanted to play sports. My mom, when I was like 5 or 6 or whatever, said, no, you're going to go play sports. I thank her for that all the time, because if it wasn't for that, who knows what my life would have been. But I started out in baseball, and I played baseball all through high school. I played a little bit in college. Then I got hurt playing baseball in college, and my basketball coach wanted to murder me, basically threatened to stab me if I was playing anything else besides basketball. So, if it's not basketball, it's another sport. It's something else. I love sports. I love team sports. I love what they mean, what they represent. It goes much, much deeper than just liking whatever's happening on the field or the court. But I really, if basketball wasn't a thing, life just wouldn't be the same, man. And I'm glad basketball's a thing. Basketball has given me everything good in my life. It seriously has, because of who it made me, what it made me, what it made me learn, and what it is still teaching me. And I've still got a lot to learn in life. I'm not perfect. I've made a bunch of mistakes. And, you know, hopefully just the thing about basketball is that it teaches you a couple of important lessons. One, how to lose. Two, how to get better. Those go hand in hand, because you're going to lose in life. You don't win every day in life. Basketball taught me how to lose because it taught me how to get better. And when I lose a day, if there's a day where I go to bed, I'm like, man, I took the L on this one. I can sit there and be like, is it my fault? Did I do everything that I could to earn a win? Sometimes you do everything right and you lose. All right. I'm okay with playing the perfect game or playing a good game and let the chips fall where they may. And if you lose, then you know what? You got me. I've lost plenty in my life. I would like to think I battled a lot, and some of my favorite games were, I don't even remember if they were wins and losses, but it was just the battle with somebody where he gave me as much as I gave him. By the end, we're both exhausted, but in, you know, at the end of the games in college, line up and shake hands. When we would see each other in that line and just kind of give each other a nod of respect, like, that was the best. You gave me everything. You didn't take it easy on me at all. And I did not take it easy on you. And whatever happens, good. Now, if I don't do that, then I know that I need to be better. And so you look at what did I do? What did I screw up today? What didn't I do right? What didn't I do right when I may have hurt somebody? What do I need to do to get better? And sometimes that's a big thing. And sometimes it's littler things. And so that's basketball. To me, every day in life is basketball. The lessons that I learned on the court are the lessons I carry with me all throughout. And that's why I am who I am and say what I say and do what I do. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I enjoy some of these more personal questions. I'm happy to answer them here or on Mass Live. Every Friday, it's a mailbag day, so email me, jcorrales@masslive.com. I will answer them here on the podcast or on Mass Live. So if your question didn't make it here, it is on masslive.com. I am answering all questions, so all of them. So if it's not here, it's there, vice versa. So if you're a new listener, thank you. I hope you enjoyed this podcast enough to subscribe. Regular listeners, I appreciate your ratings and your reviews. Please go check out the Locked On NBA Mock Draft. So many people have questions about the draft. The Locked On NBA Mock Draft has all 30 teams represented. All 30 teams have a podcast, and all the podcast hosts are here acting as GMs, making trades, drafting players. Wednesday, was picks 1 through 6. Thursday, picks 7 through 10, where I traded the Celtics 3 picks into the top 10 to select Tyrese Haliburton at 8. Then Friday, we're going to start at pick 11, and it's going to go up until the draft. So it's a great way to kind of get a sense of what every team is thinking rather than just relying on mock drafts and saying, well, what does Kevin O'Connor think? What does Jonathan Givony think? This has people from each city, like me, who follow these teams and know what these teams are trying to do. You get a better sense of what those teams are at least thinking. And that might help guide some of what you're thinking as far as a fan and how this draft might go. So subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast. I'm also a regular Wednesday host of the Locked On NBA podcast. So, you know, support me too. I appreciate it, everybody. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics podcast, and we're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.